Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
I didn't see you out there. I had Anish keep on going. I kept on asking him questions.
Actually, live on here.
we are.
Oh, we are. Okay.
You have 30,000 people listening to you right
good,
now.
I guess just jump right on the field and start playing.
Yeah, but you come in right at 1:30.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
See, I'm actually on time.
I love it. Well, I wanted you here 5 minutes ago, but it's okay.
Okay.
No, it's perfect. Good timing. Perfect. So, first of all, Dan, CEO of Strata Decision Technology. We're longtime friends. I'm trying to think back. I guess I met you in 2004, 2005 when we were starting the EHR Vendors Association.
Yeah, trying to create standards for electronic health records. Who would have thunk?
Amen. And we just actually walked through a lot of that with Adiv and Anish.
Yeah, so now there's actual data. So there's a different problem to solve than there was back then.
Yes, and actually we'll have at 3:50, Elise, Sweeney, Anthony will be joining us from the ONC talking about the new information rule.
Don't hype other people while you're talking to me. That's not right. Come on.
They were a last second ad. I'm very happy we made it happen. But thank you. Dan, I love what you're doing. You actually my very first guest brought up cost accounting. So I'll give you 30 seconds before I ask you some of the thought leader questions on your new cost accounting model that you've just launched.
Yeah, well, it goes back to what you and I and the work we were doing with a bunch of other folks 15 years ago on electronic health records. If you don't know what an EHR is, then and you can't define what the data would actually be, then there's not anything to use. So now we've solved that problem to some extent on the clinical side. But on the cost side, it's essentially a black hole. I mean, people do not understand the difference between cost, price, charge, and reimbursement. If you look at bottom-up costing in healthcare, for the most part, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So if we're really going to look at value, we need to look at the top part and the bottom part of the equation. The model we launched with the Healthcare Finance Management Association yesterday was based on work we've done with over 200 health systems. There's 40,000 members in HFMA.
Yes.
So there's a real good opportunity for that industry to step up and really show the path on how we can get good, actionable information on cost to healthcare providers.
It's excellent. Isn't there a lot of money to be made by not wanting to tackle that, though, by a lot of different actors in the healthcare system? I love what you're doing, but I feel like there's people who like to have kind of that black box and not understand pricing or want to understand pricing because they make more money off that. Because I just waved into the insurance world or walked into the insurance world in one of my latest ventures, and I'm trying to solve that and fix that from a care provider standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all depends on your lens, right?
Yep.
So if I'm the CFO or CEO or CMIO
you
for a healthcare delivery system, let's just say it's a $1 billion healthcare system. Mm-hmm. 80% of that cost is going to come from the decisions that the clinicians and the physicians make. So they have $800 million in their hands.
Right.
But they have no idea the difference between one decision they may make in another. So we're not giving them any information to know if that glass of wine they're drinking is $10 or
right.
$300, and wouldn't it be nice to know? Because ultimately, we're all stewards of the resources that are used within healthcare. So, no, I think healthcare providers have nothing but the right reasons to get the right information right now. So
good. So looking at HIMSS and also what you're doing in 2019, 2020, what healthcare, health IT trends are you seeing in the industry?
Well, I think this is the big trend right now. I mean, I think.
Well, I would agree.
One of them I would say is getting information that's contextual. So I went to the MIT Sports Analytics Conference, and at that conference, they're all talking about using data within direct context. So there's a batter that's up there. The pitcher has to make a decision where they throw the ball. There's a manager who's going to position their players on the field. In healthcare, we have all that information hiding behind somewhere. And when we present to people, it's really a bunch of information with some analytics tools that, you know, are looking to find one diamond in the rough versus putting direct data that's, you know, what's referred to as applied analytics, contextual data directly in the hands of people. That ultimately is the only reason why cost accounting data would matter is if you put it in the hands of people who can actually make decisions.
That's exactly right.
So that's the trend I see, is we've created this mountain of data, but we've got to get it within context. It's not just the tools.
Yeah.
It's putting it within an appropriate context that's going to make the difference.
So following that context, what are two or three best practices that you could share with my audience on how you'd successfully engage that or navigate that outside of your cost accounting model?
Yeah, absolutely. So like one of the things you can do now with an Epic is you can embed cost within order sets. So at least when I'm making that decision, Once I use, again, I'll use the analogy of a glass of wine, at least I could see what the difference is. Yep. We tell every CFO it's a very easy decision to have with your clinicians, which is don't ever make a decision based on cost. I mean, it could be my wife or my daughter or my sister or my mom. Don't ever make a decision based on cost, but you should never make it completely oblivious of that either.
Correct.
So I think getting that data to physicians, whether it's prospectively, retrospectively, or in real time, all the data will show you it absolutely has an impact. So I think there's multiple best practices. The main thing is action, is actually doing something and engaging clinicians in a collaborative way. What's happening now is that people will send out a variation report between a bunch of different providers and show you as the outlier. And it starts as a very negative conversation.
Right.
There's a much better way to engage physicians in a collaboration. I'm talking to a bunch of CMIOs about that during this conference, in a collaborative way where we can really make a difference. I think there's those are some of the examples I guess I would share.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So now thinking a couple years in advance, say 3 years in advance, what should this group, because a lot of us we're focused on here and now, certainly with HIMSS because we're here. But what do you think in a couple of years from now that we need to really think to navigate, or even in cost accounting in your world, in several years from now?
Yeah, so I'd go back to the EHR days. The conversation that we were having 15 years ago was people were telling us doctors would never use computers. They were technophobic, right?
Yes.
So apparently technophobia was cured, or that assumption was wrong.
Yeah.
The second thing was those EHRs had order sets in them. And with those order sets, people viewed those initially as cookbook medicine. Doctors won't use that.
Right.
That's cookbook medicine.
Yep.
And apparently that was solved. So I think on the cost side, if you look 3 years from now, we'll see why in the world weren't we sharing this information? It makes absolutely no sense. So if you have a $3.6 trillion spend in healthcare,
right,
and $2 trillion of that is flowing through hospitals and healthcare delivery systems, that means $1.6 trillion can be attacked to some extent.
Totally agree.
By engaging clinicians in a productive, prospective way. And so it just, the problem to be solved, I think, is pretty obvious. But I think there's a behavioral psychology component to this.
Yep.
I think there's a trust component to this where people have to not assume, but they have to engage. So I think it's not just data, it's not just systems, but it's really about thinking through the problem in a different way.
Yep. No, and even to your point, we actually had a little bit of a breakthrough in Georgia a couple weeks ago now, with a healthcare system that I'm a chairman of. We have full price transparency. We follow a DPC model. About 250 provider specialists will support that model. But then we finally have been negotiating with payers. They actually gave us a 20 to 30% credit for each member because of price transparency, because our care model is proven to actually keep a patient healthier. Our DPC doctors practice at the top of their license. We integrated all of that and really dropped costs dramatically. I mean, literally a 20 to 30% reduction in premiums.
Right.
For doing that. And so you just mentioned that one, you know, was it? Wouldn't you mention, is it $1.6 trillion we probably can take right off the bottom if we start?
There's any organization you go into, the cost of variation, you know, is at least 10%.
Yeah.
So if you're in a $3 billion organization, you know there's a $300 million opportunity.
Yep.
So attacking that is not just a data problem. There's a way to engage. So Yale New Haven Health is a good example. They drove out $150 million of cost just by marrying clinical and financial data together.
Yeah.
Right? And then I think you and I have talked about this before, but they also did gain sharing with their physicians. So if you're going to engage as a doctor in the first year, why not let you benefit to some extent from it, because we'll get the benefit in the out years. So there's different ways to tackle the problem.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
So what else are you looking forward to in this conference? What do you have to tackle for the next couple of days here?
Jeez.
You guys have a booth here, right? Of course.
Yeah, we do. But HIMSS is always a little bit of a zoo. So I'm actually spending time just having conversations with people. I'm going to be writing an article, which is called the Solving the $3.6 Trillion Problem. Right? What here actually is helpful, you know, from that perspective, which isn't just adding costs, but is going to help us run and operate, you know, the responsibility we have to serve patients more efficiently and effectively. So those are a lot of the conversations I have are just about the problems people are trying to solve. Yeah.
Well, once you're writing, is that going to be an article that you're going to write or a book that you're writing? I would love to have you certainly on the radio show for that, because that's a conversation. I love that conversation, because recently I realized that before I didn't believe we could really bend the cost curve very much, but now I really start where I see that we can bend the cost curve, and so that's a conversation that I'm fully involved in, and I just would love to have it with you.
Yeah, we'll see. If I can find your email, maybe I'll send you a copy. We'll see, Justin. But I appreciate the opportunity to catch up.
You got it, my friend. Thank you very much, Dan. And great to have you on air. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.